featuring the latest songs from artists in Canada and from around the world.
Hosted by DJs from coast to coast to coast.
30 minutes of Canada's newest music downloaded exclusively from the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily. Earshot
Daily. Welcome along, I'm Sean Savage. This is Earshot Daily, electronic edition. This time around, I have music for you from Charlotte Day Wilson, Crimson, and Caribou. Kicking things off, this is Bon Iver with 8.
Philosophize and figure out what I have in heaven hell. You called and I came, stay tall. Falling fixture, just the same thing. Say nothing of my fable. No, what on earth is left to come? I'm underneath the tongue. I'm standing in the street now.
Side your favor.
This is Canada's Music, Earshot Daily.
Outer space to find another race. Oh yeah.
way music was meant to be. Earshot Daily.
Let's play.
I'm Sean Savage. This is the Earshot Daily. Thanks for listening. Follow me on all socials. My handle is The Mix Sessions. Let me know what you think of the show. That was Canadian trip-hop group Groove Collective, that's G-R-U-V-E Collective, with their debut single, Hopeless Hope. Up next, this is Caribou with Our Love.
You're listening to music from Canada's premier indie music source, Earshot's digital distribution system.
Dance it. on this week's Release Radar in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. We're pleased to present a new single by Sons of Rick called Fusion Frenzy, a high-energy garage rock track inspired by the classic original Xbox party game that brought the band closer together through late-night couch co-op chaos. The song delivers punchy riffs and catchy lyrics that stay lingering in your head as an earworm. A longtime fan favorite at live shows, Fusion Frenzy captures the band's edge while turning a shared inside joke into an anthem. Are you a local musician who would like to be highlighted next time on our airwaves and social media? Just complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Fusion Frenzy by Sons of Rick on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here right now with us on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Genevieve Hinch, and you are listening to The Kingston Curator. This is the show that keeps you connected with everything happening across Kingston's art, music, culture, and community scene. Whether you're looking for your next concert, wanting to discover local artists, or just trying to stay in the loop with what's going on around the city, this is the place for you. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another week of the Kingston Curator. This week's episode was a really fun one to put together. As June starts to wind down a little bit, I wanted to do a Pride-themed episode, and I wanted to highlight some of the incredible local talent we have right here in Kingston. So today, I will be chatting with two very familiar faces in Kingston's drag community, Bewitched and Blow Pony. Both are incredibly talented performers who will become important parts of Kingston Pride for sure. And honestly, Pride in Kingston literally would not be the same without them. So in these interviews, we'll hear all about how they first got started into drag, their journeys as performers, and what Pride truly means to them. And of course, some of the exciting events coming up on this week and their radars and beyond. So One thing that really stood out to me in both of these conversations was how welcoming and supportive Kingston drag community truly is. So whether you're a longtime fan or someone who's never been to a drag show before, there's truly a place for everyone. And I definitely recommend you go to check out some of these events because truly they are such a great time and such wonderful people. And yeah, they just keep it coming with exciting things happening in Kingston. So let's get into these two great interviews lined up for today. I'm not going to spend too much time talking, so let's start with the incredible Bewitched. Today, I'm joined by Kingston drag artist and performer Bewitched, and thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate that.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And so for listeners who might not know you yet, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how Bewitched came to be?
I was getting into the drag scene because my drag mother, Simone Says, started performing in July of 2022. And I've been doing makeup for years before that. And she had asked me for my help. And when I went to an open stage, a drag show for the very first time, because I wasn't really exposed to queer culture, I discovered my love of drag. I watched my best friend on the stage with like tears in my eyes and a five in my hand. And I was so excited to see her perform. But I also was like, can I do this? And I wasn't sure because a lot of people, when they first get into the drag scene or they start to learn about like the Kingston drag scene or drag in general, even one of their first questions or statements is, can cis women do drag? I thought it was just gay men who dress up as women. That was my assumption too. But in conversations with my drag mother, she reassured me that I could perform because I was interested in it. I've been doing theater in high school for forever and I've always been a dramatic person. So I was super into it and I created the persona Bewitched. Bewitched is actually a title. So it's two really prominent parts of my life. So it's my chosen name, B, that I fought to be called ever since I was a young tween. And I changed it legally a few years ago. And Witched is just the fact that I am a practicing witch because I am very connected to myself spiritually in that sense. I first started performing in December of 2022 at Rowena Way's open stage at the Grad Club, RIP the Grad Club. And I wanted to shake up the drag scene and really make an impact. So I created an intro with my friends Liam and Nathaniel. And it started with hidden deep within the lore of the cards, a twisted tale of a witch. And ever since then, I kind of just hit the ground running. I've been organizing shows since April of 2023, my first drag show sold out, which is crazy. That's never happened before. And my goal after watching a bunch of drag shows before that was to make drag shows start on time, to ensure that they were organized, and to make sure that they felt like, not that they weren't a safe space previously, but to really ensure that the standard and the expectation was that this is a safe space, even for a few hours. This is your space to be you as an audience member, as a drag performer. And since then, I have done like over 50 shows. I've won 9 different awards for my event organizing. I've put on counter protests against hateful groups. I have invited Sigourney Beaver from Dragula to come perform in Kingston. I've done so much and I'm so proud of myself for the work that I've done, especially breaking, barriers and really making a difference as like a queer disabled woman. It's hasn't always been easy, but yeah, that's essentially.
Wow.
Short story long.
No, that was great. And what a great way to kind of highlight different sections to your story and this career of yours. And I really love how your name came to be because I know the classic TV show Bewitched. So I was wondering, oh, does it have something to do with that? But I like the personal take.
Back in the day, I did actually watch that. Yeah. It was not the reason why I made my name the way it is, but I did watch it. It was a good show.
Yeah, so I love that's kind of a twist. I wasn't expecting that. So I love how it really has a personal meaning to that. And like you said, you've been performing a lot here in Kingston. You've definitely become a familiar face here in the community over the years. So how would you just describe your drag style to someone who's never seen one of those performances before?
I would say my drag style is an amalgamation of all of the different pieces of media and songs and characters that I've grown to love over like my entire life. The nice thing about the way that I grew up is I was introduced to so many different parts of life. Like, for example, one of my biggest influences is video games, and I had three different parents showing me three different consoles. So when people are like, oh, are you PlayStation or are you Nintendo? I'm like, I'm both. And I'm also PC a little bit too. So I've listened to rock, I've listened to punk, I've listened to literally any music that you could think of. So I would say expect the unexpected, but if you wanted to try to like summarize it, you can expect witchy, creative, fun, enticing, magical, emotional performances. Typically, my usual look is black hair with one white eye and one black eye, long, really long lashes. Everyone asks me if they're too heavy to wear. They are not. And just I'm always really, really sparkly. But that's kind of what you can expect from Bewitched.
Yeah, I love that. Definitely a lot of you highlighted in that. And yeah, that's great that you really can't expect what's going to happen. You're definitely always bringing the excitement for sure. And so I know it probably takes a lot of work to get ready before you have these shows. So what kind of is that process that you do before a show? And I feel like people really don't realize how much work goes behind the scenes. So can you explain a little bit about that?
I mean, for me, it really depends on the show. Some shows are a little bit easier than others, but I mean, I think one of the hardest shows I've had to organize recently was probably Slayed by the Sword. Which was a choose your own adventure drag show. That involves, and any show involves, organizing performers, creating group chats, creating set lists, putting together any like graphics or advertising. I do everything myself. I make all my posters, all my graphics, all my advertising. I've taught myself how to use CapCut and Procreate and Canva because I am very anti-AI. And I have to coordinate everybody. I have to manage everybody. I have a lot of administrative work behind the scenes. So answering emails and questions and comments and connecting with venues. And Slayed by the Sword was so difficult because I had to write about 8 pages worth of script. So that was a lot, and have to come up with creative ideas and scenes and then create a Google Forms and everything like that. So, but it created one of the most successful shows I've ever had this year. And I find that, you know, you always have to plan or you have to plan to fail. And I put so much excessive planning into my shows because I want them to feel organized. And I want them to feel fun and creative and silly. And I think we've been so immensely blessed with the audiences here in Kingston because they have been aching for more of the silly, weird, out of this world concepts. So yeah, I would say that there's a lot of work that goes into it, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people in the drag scene are like, you are absolutely a psycho, because a lot of the times I'm like, hey, are you available for this show in November? And they're like, why are you asking me? And I'm like, I plan out my whole year.
Yeah.
And I've made like a calendar for all of the drag performers and burlesque performers to add their shows so we can all support each other and not like overlap too much. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's great. Kind of, and definitely, yeah, amazing to stay organized like that. Good for you. That's incredible.
ADHD.
Valid. And then, so yeah, all that prep and everything that goes into these performances, do you have one that maybe really stands out to you or a favorite performance you've done?
I would say my favorite I would say there's like a genre of performances. I'll say that. I think anytime that I really get to connect with the backstory and the lore of Bewitched. So for example, when I perform two songs, Blackout by Linkin Park or The Contract by 21 Pilots, I feel the most like Bewitched I could ever be. And it's really cool that people love the lore so much. And I've had literally people from Australia message me and be like, your lore is so cool. Can I ask questions about it? So I would say anytime I get to connect with the story behind Bewitched is when I'm like really feel good about her.
That's nice. And I know you mentioned at the start of the interview about your drag mother. So kind of leaning into that, do you have some inspirations behind your story, either in drag or just as a performer in general?
Just like in terms of her character?
Yeah.
I would say my inspiration for the story behind Bewitched is really just like her story is being slain for her witchcraft and being buried deep within a forest and then coming back better than ever and like rising from the ashes like a phoenix. I would say I've had to do that a lot in my life. Growing up, I was in a household that was very emotionally abusive. I don't talk to almost any of my family other than like a few of my siblings on my dad's side. So I think that her story really encapsulates like the power behind the divine feminine and connecting with your true self. She's super evil, which like I promise I'm not, but I also just really like evil, attractive, sexy women who can step on me. So I think that's also that too. Like she really is just a strong, confident woman who, yeah, is doing evil things, but she is doing it to defy the odds and to accomplish her goals.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
Thank you.
And then going kind of into the Kingston community, it's built a pretty incredible drag scene over the years. So what has it been like being a part of this community?
I would say wonderful. And so it's so cool watching the Kingston drag scene grow as much as it has. I think that Rowena and Tiffany could probably give you a better idea of how like small it was before there was the big drag boom of like 2022 when Rowena made the open stage. But I would just say everyone, like we're all chosen family. We're so close. We are so supportive of each other. And there's always like a little bit of a competitive aspect, but it's in a way that benefits each other. We're always challenging each other. We're always motivating each other to keep going, to keep organizing shows. And we always welcome new performers, no matter how you want to perform. We have drag clowns, and we have like drag things and monsters. We have people who are drag queens, drag kings. We have so many gender diverse artists. It's really cool and it's so unique. And I have a lot of people from Ottawa, for example, or Montreal or other small towns saying that they wish they had what Kingston has because we've really built something special and creative and crazy and kooky. And I think it's amazing to see it continue to grow.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so one of the reasons I actually invited you on the curator for today is because I saw that you were performing at the Kingston Queer Prom this year.
Yes, I am.
I think that event is so cool and I love it for our community. So for people who may not have heard about it yet, can you tell us a little bit about this event?
Yes, I can. So the Trans Family Queer Prom, it's to raise money for Trans Family Kingston. And to also, I would say it's to really put our trans community in focus, especially in Kingston, because we're so gender diverse here and so progressive here. It's really just a celebration of like trans and queer joy. We have face painters. I think there's people doing like hair. There's drag performances. There's also comedy and just dancing all night long. And I think it's also to recapture our inner children who may not have had a proper prom, whether it's because of COVID or you weren't out when you were a teenager. I think it's such a cool event and I feel unbelievably honored to be involved. Like I'm trying not to cry because it's so cool to be involved as someone who is like a cis woman because like I'm such a huge advocate and supporter of trans rights. Like all of my best friends are trans. So to be chosen to perform in this, I feel incredibly honored. I never expected to be, but Trans Family Kingston is so special to me and I'm so incredibly excited to perform for everybody and to be with the community. So I think it's at the Ambassador Center. Yes. And it's on Saturday. So highly recommend that you join us. I'm so excited.
It sounds like such a wonderful event. What a great opportunity. And so this obviously seems like a very exciting night for you. What can people expect from your performance on Saturday?
I'm doing three different songs. I was really trying to find as many songs by trans artists as I could, or at least queer artists. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'm doing like a little bit of dancey, a little bit dancey numbers or dancier numbers rather. And I'm doing like one emotional number just because I feel like all of us are feeling pretty emotional after Pride. So yeah, I would just say like just magic and just queer joy.
Love it. That sounds like great. And yeah, so why do you think events like this are so important, especially in our Kingston community?
I think that events like this are important in the Kingston community because even though we are so gender diverse and we are so progressive, there are a lot of people who are very hateful and don't understand the trans and queer community. So I think it represents our resilience and our defiance against this terrible political climate. And it's a way for us to kind of spark that joy, because I think that trans and queer joy is the resistance that we need, as hard as it's been in this political climate in Kingston and beyond. I think that we just need to keep getting up and keep fighting, just like our like people did in the past for us. We have to keep going. And I think that it's important to capture that in performances and togetherness and really just being ourselves.
And kind of zooming out a little bit, as we all know, we are celebrating Pride Month. And yeah, so what does Pride mean to you personally? I know that's kind of a very broad question, but yeah.
I would say Pride to me means resilience, and it means being your true authentic self. For the longest time, even though I have been out as bisexual since I was 13, I didn't really get formally introduced to Pride until I joined the board of Kingston Pride, because my family never educated me, never brought me to Pride, or I had to always work on Pride. So I think that for me, it's reconnecting with my queer joy and my journey as a queer woman. And I think for me, it's balancing that duality of grief and joy, because both are so immense, but without one, you can't have the other.
Yeah. And I know you just mentioned that you're part of the Pride board. Is that true?
Yes, I am. I'm the chair of Kingston Pride.
Oh, wow. That is incredible. So can you talk about a little bit about how you've seen the community grow and maybe change over the years?
I would say that the community as a whole has become a lot more open and a lot more loving and understanding of the amount of work that goes into Kingston Pride, because it's an unpaid volunteer job. I just do it in between my full-time job and between Bewitched. I think that truly Kingston Pride has become more grassroots. We don't have any big corporate sponsors, and it's just for the community, by the community. And we have worked incredibly hard to put on an amazing Pride parade. It's left on time every single year I've been chair, which I'm very proud of.
Amazing.
But it's been so much fun. And I'm so appreciative that the community has been so supportive despite everything happening in the world. And it makes me really happy that I can also bring joy to queer youth as well, because I know what it's like to not have your pronouns or your chosen name or your identity respected. So I really hope that a lot of queer youth felt like we made a difference, even if it was just for a day.
Yeah. Wow. That is incredible. And so much that you do for this community. That is amazing. Truly, you are making a great, great impact in Kingston. So I just want to thank you so much for your work that you've done.
That.
Yeah. And kind of before I let you go here today, and just to wrap things up a little bit, are there maybe any upcoming performances or projects or events people should keep an eye out for?
Yes. I have been calling this weekend a bewitching long weekend. So on Friday at Something in the Water, you can find just little old me doing a solo show once again. It's a Slater only solo show. So I'm going to be performing the majority of her hits from her most recent album, Worst Girl in America. The show is called Worst Girl in Kingston. I'm going to be performing a few songs from her other albums and singles and things like that. But it's going to be a show all about me, which I'm very happy about. And then, of course, as we mentioned, June 20th is going to be the queer prom. And there are so many things happening. I can't even list them all. So I highly recommend that you go to Eventbrite and you check out the huge long list of amazing things happening. But I'm also so happy and so proud to be performing alongside my two best friends, Blue Pony and Universe. And then on the 21st is the rescheduled Pride Recovery Brunch, because we sadly got rained out. But that is hosted by Rowena Way at the Wharf and Feather. It starts at noon, and it's featuring myself, Sahira, and Betty Baker. and it's going to be a grand old time. I'm very excited to slay while people eat eggs in front of me.
Nice. Well, it seems like, yeah, you've got some exciting events on the go. And to end on a little bit of a reflective note, if you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice before stepping out on the stage for the very first time, what would it be?
Are we thinking younger self as in like the Bewitched in 2022 or like baby Bewitched?
Even younger, just like when you're a child growing up.
I would say, I'm going to try not to cry. I would say, B, you are going to go through so much more than you think. But the special and amazing thing about you is that you are one of the most resilient girls that I have ever met. And things might not turn out the way that you think. You are not going to be speaking to the majority of your family in the future, but that's okay, because you are going to find a wonderful chosen family who will embrace you for who you are and will love how silly you are and how crazy you are. So keep your head up high, keep going, don't lose your spark, and continue to be artistic, because in the future, people are going to love it and appreciate it and appreciate you for all of your hard work.
Oh, well, thank you, B, so much for coming on. That was amazing. And thank appreciate it. My next guest is a familiar face in Kingston's drag community. Blow Pony is a drag performer known for their high energy performances, creativity, and for helping build the community through drag events across the city. So again, I'm happy to welcome Blow Pony to the Kingston Curator. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's always, sorry.
Go ahead.
It's crazy to hear myself described by other people, I think, still.
And yeah, so to start things off for listeners, who is Blow Pony?
That's a big question. I suppose they're like my feminine alter ego. I tend to be pretty mask in my day-to-day life, and I get my chance to be very sparkly and feminine and silly whenever I put on the clown paint.
Yeah, fully. And so where did the name Blow Pony come from?
That is the most asked question. So it actually started with my favorite character from like a comic book series called Show Pony.
Oh.
And they are a roller skating, gender bending menace from a series called The True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys, which is like a comic series written by Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance. And I kind of was playing around with the idea that I kind of wanted to have a similar name, but not directly taken from that media. So I was kind of just doing some rhyming, and it ended up being Blow Pony.
Wow, that's great. And so I know everyone starts from the beginning. So what first got you interested in drag and performing? What made this happen?
So actually, one of my best friends at work had actually started performing as a drag king in December the year before. And she had really encouraged me to kind of give it a try, give it a go, because she had always been kind of my biggest champion when it came to trying anything new with art. And I ended up kind of going back and forth on whether or not I kind of wanted to try it, because I'd always been a theater kid, but also like a little bit stage fright, a little bit afraid of being in the spotlight, being center of attention. So, June of that following year, I decided, I'll give it one try. I'll do it once. I'll get it out of my system, and then she'll stop asking, and we can just put it in the past. And then I did it once, and I loved it so much that I never stopped.
That's great. And it's wonderful that you had that support from the beginning. That's true.
Oh, I feel so, so lucky. Like, in that way, my friends have been my biggest support network, and that support network has really only grown with drag in like a really beautiful way that has almost become like family.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. So how would you describe your drag persona? I know you mentioned a little bit briefly about that before, and style, and how would you describe your style to someone who's never seen you perform before?
Ooh, I always say I'm a little bit of like a gender tomfoolery. I always like to play with like gender expression and kind of what is femininity, what is masculinity, how does it blend together when you're a non-binary transgender person, and kind of I like to play with like the boundary lines, I guess, of what gender is. And I like to make kind of almost a fool of myself so that it's much safer for everyone else to try new things as well.
Yeah, that's great. And I know a lot of effort goes in behind the scenes before these performances. So do you have like a process you follow before you're about to perform?
Oh, yes. I always try to spend like the morning before a show kind of like having like a cup of tea, kind of like getting into that like mind space, listening to all my music. And then I'll usually kind of like slowly start getting into makeup kind of over like a 3-hour period so that I don't like rush myself. Mm-hmm. I tend to like to give myself as much time to experiment and like play and like make mistakes as like possible.
And I know you've done a lot of performances around Kingston over the years. Is there one performance that really stands out to you kind of as like a favorite performance or just particularly memorable? I know, tough questions.
Right. There have been so many. There are so many talented, creative, crazy people in Kingston who have given me so many opportunities to also be crazy. But I feel like my favorite was a couple years ago. I got the opportunity through Tiffany Morgan, who is just a drag legend locally. She gave me a grant after I applied to her 25th anniversary bursary. And I was able to put on a really big fundraiser for a local charity called Trans Family Kingston. And I was able to hire an entirely transgender cast for it of locals. Oh, wow. And it was so beautiful. It was so wonderful. And it has truly always stood out as my most special show, I think, because it was just such an expression of love for like gender diverse people all doing what they love.
And what is it about performing live that keeps bringing you back to the stage?
The audience every single time. I love seeing an audience member's like eyes light up when they like recognize the music, or like they're just excited to see me because I get excited to see them, and I feel like it's a very much like an energy exchange. And particularly my favorite is like the after the show, when I actually get to talk to people and they get to kind of like come over, we get to decompress, we get to have like our little kiki. It's so nice. I love talking to people. I love meeting people, and like drag has given me such like a new way to kind of reach people.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's wonderful. And probably you've made lots of friends along the way and supporters. That's incredible.
Oh, so many. Like so many performers.
Yeah.
They started as audience members who kind of like were coming to a lot of our shows, and they kind of also kind of got the drag bug, and they've kind of become part of our local scene, and it gets bigger and more beautiful all the time, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of the Kingston drag scene, how have you seen kind of Kingston develop their drag scene over the years from your perspective, and what makes the local drag community so special here?
I think Kingston is so special because we have so many weirdos. Like I see in a lot of the bigger cities, it's a lot of like not the same drag, but like a more pageanty, a more homogenized kind of RuPaul style drag.
Yeah.
Whereas I find locally there's like this safety to experiment and be a bit of a strange person and to have kind of unique ideas. Like I always say it's crazy in Kingston because I think all of the gender diverse performers actually now outnumber the number of traditional drag queens we have.
Wow.
And that is insane. I never thought I would see that happen anywhere. I always just want to say like it's just such like this big circle of love locally. I think like there's such a safety for new people to join all the time and try it out. Like it's just so such enthusiasm for new performers as well. I've never seen that anywhere else.
Yeah, for sure. And I know you just mentioned a couple of performers and friends you've built along the way. Have there been any specific local performers or mentors, friends who've really shaped your journey in drag?
I got to give a mention to Bewitch. She's been my biggest supporter since the very beginning. I can still remember she came to one of my very first when I was performing at the open stage back in the grad club days. She came to my very first performance with like my drag name on like a little sign, and she was like my big supporter there cheering for me. And then she gave me my first booked gig, and I don't know, I feel like a friendship that has just grown over the last few years into something I treasure so much.
That's incredible. And what a great thing that's just spawned out of this.
I have so much gratitude for the amount of love that drag has brought into my life.
Things you'd never expect, right? And they pop in your life like that.
Oh, truly. And I feel like you get to meet so many different people that you may have never gotten to cross paths with.
Yeah.
Who all do this like very strange thing where you all dress up as other people and lip sync on stage.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And maybe for someone who's never been to a drag show before, what do you think they're missing out on?
I think they're missing out on the community, truly. I never see so many people smiling and enjoying each other's company than I do at a drag show. Like, I feel like all of our audiences kind of know each other now as well. Like, there's not any fear for people to, like, you know, sit with somebody new at a show or to, like, just make that new connection.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I'm so grateful for what this community is and has become and is growing to be. And I can't wait to like see how much bigger it gets over like the next few years.
Yeah. Well, it truly is such a welcoming community. And there's so many just wide range of opportunities for people. It is incredible here, what we have here in Kingston. And kind of to zoom out a little bit, as we all know, it is Pride Month. So I'd like to kind of shift the conversation maybe to a bit more of a broader question that you could answer more specifically and personally to you. But what does Pride mean to you personally?
Ooh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I would say Pride for me is like a celebration of like our community's resilience. Like it's been a never ending fight, I think, to be seen, to be heard, to be respected. And Pride really gets to be that, you know, culmination of all of us coming together and, you know, grieving together, but also celebrating together, which I think is almost as important as, you know, that grief. And like, we have to fight for the little moments of, you know, joy. I think so much harder right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And now, before I let you go, are there maybe any upcoming performances, projects, or events you'd maybe like to plug on the show really quickly and get people excited to see what you'll be a part of?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tonight I'm performing at something in the water with Universe for a little bit of an anime-themed drag show.
Ooh,
but
cool.
A little bit broader, on Saturday we're going to be doing Queer Prom, which is with TFAM and Kingston Pride. And it's going to be a beautiful, like, forest fantasy theme. It's going to be a poutine bar, which always excites me.
I was talking to Bewitched about that, and that seems like a wonderful, wonderful event and lots of great opportunities for everyone to come attend and enjoy the prom and lots of just entertainment. So yeah, that's great that you're a part of it as well.
Oh, I'm so excited. I feel like as queer people, we don't always get to have like that beautiful like prom moment.
Yeah.
And like for like the community to come together and say like, you know, let's have our own, let's have our own moment. I think it's really wonderful, and I relish the opportunity to be part of it.
Yeah, that's truly a great opportunity. Well, thank you so much, Blow Pony. I really appreciate you coming on The Curator, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. We are all looking forward to these events you've mentioned and just seeing the Kingston drag community grow even more. It is such a wonderful place to be, so thank you so much.
Thank you again for having me. This is such a great opportunity.
And those are the wonderful interviews we had today, again with Bewitched and Blow Pony, two incredible drag performers in Kingston. And I encourage you all to check out their social medias, their events. It's just a wonderful community to be a part of. And yeah, thank you so much for listening to the Kingston Curator today. And I will see you all next week.
Down the short set of stairs, join me, Grim, in the basement for my working knowledge of indie, experimental,